It is time to talk NFL once a week with the man that breaks it down just about better than anybody, Adam Kaplan. You can follow him at Kaplan NFL on Twitter. Adam, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving week to you. How are you?
Same to you guys. I'm well. We're almost at the three-quarter point here in the National Football League in this season, so which is a good thing based on everything that's going on. So lots going on. You guys covering the Chiefs there. You've got a big game this week against the Bucs. They're struggling all of a sudden. Boy, they look really good about 3 weeks ago, but their defense has really regressed here. And Tom Brady didn't play particularly well this game and really, quite frankly, the last couple games. But, look, this thing is very, very interesting, and what a great win for the Chiefs on Sunday night.
Okay, well, let's get all those things, Chiefs and Bucs here in a moment. But I do want to start with this triple header we've got tomorrow. I don't think we need to waste any time on the Texans and Lions.
Yeah.
Redskins and Cowboys is 2-3-7 teams, but it could be for the division lead in the East. But that Ravens-Steelers game is of local importance because in Kansas City, we're all watching the Steelers to see if they might drop a game or two and let the Chiefs get back into that race for the number one seed. But the Ravens are ravaged by the coronavirus and other things right now. What's your confidence level this game's going to be played? And if it does get played, can the Ravens field a team that could actually beat the Steelers at their place?
Yeah, guys, I could just tell you from a league perspective, just talking to people who would know, they put it on the teams here. Whereas earlier in the season, they were willing to move a game to Tuesday. They don't want to move anything. They just are basically saying it's your responsibility to make sure your players and your coaches and your executives don't get COVID. And it's on the teams to make sure everybody stays healthy. So, as of this morning, the game is still on. So that's kind of where they're at. Now, the Ravens, who are 6-4, they've got issues with COVID, obviously. Two running backs are out. Their defensive tackle, Brandon Williams, who didn't play last week due to an ankle injury, he's one of the best run-stopping D tackles in the National Football League. He won't play this week. He's on the COVID list. So they've got problems. Their passing game has regressed significantly. Talking to Ravens source, their passing game, boy, they wanted to get Lamar Jackson in their offseason program. They really wanted to give him more responsibility in the pass game, but, of course, they didn't have an offseason. No one did, and that's clearly hurt their passing game. The run game has not been particularly good. Now, some people are saying, hey, listen, the league has caught up to the Ravens pass game. I wouldn't argue against it, but the reasons for it, and the Ravens are clearly not the same team that they once were. It'll be really hard for them on a short week. Now, I would say this. Pittsburgh is not the most dominant 10-0 team we've seen. They're very good. They're clearly right now the NFL's best team. But I would tell you this. I don't know if the Steelers' defense is going to be good enough in the playoffs to stop a team like the Chiefs with that quarterback. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, their defense is really, really good, but it's a different animal when you're talking about the Chiefs. And I've been trying to look around and give Chiefs fans hope that Pittsburgh's going to lose a couple of games. And, you know, maybe 3 weeks ago, this was one of the games you say, you know, it's the Ravens. But the Ravens have not looked like the Ravens who took Pittsburgh to the wire in a game where the Ravens didn't play very well, right? At home, the beginning of the month, they don't look anything like that right now. So what chances do you give them to actually win this game Thursday night in the state that they're in?
Not much, because Pittsburgh got a couple guys back last week from injury. They got a couple of their D tackles back who are out. I mean, they're pretty healthy right now. Now, when you look at Pittsburgh's schedule, okay, after this game, they've got two games where I think they could lose, possibly. Week 14 at Buffalo. Buffalo is much improved. Their offense is fantastic. And then week 16 at home against one of the most improved teams in the National Football League in the Colts, who have one of the NFL's best front fours. Their offense is starting to come on here. There is a possibility they'll lose one or two games. But the Chiefs, I'll say this, their offense is unbelievable. And teams are clearly trying not to give up the deep ball against them, and that's why you're not seeing a ton of plays downfield. But I am a little bit concerned about the Chiefs' defense right now. They're not getting the pass rush that they need to get for whatever reason.
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a sec. I do want to touch on Washington and Dallas really quickly because, you know, Nate said, the records are not good. But the division is horrible, so first place is here for the taking. Alex Smith, man, it's just an amazing story. I know we've talked about it before, but he is just kind of motoring along, and I don't think people thought they would see this out of him. What sort of an amazing story would it be, even if they were only 6-10 and won the division, if Alex Smith were a part of that?
It would be great. It certainly would. After you guys know, when he was with the Chiefs, great guy. One of the most incredible stories. 17 surgeries, and look, I mean, there was concern he might lose his leg at one point. So really remarkable what he's able to do. And he'll get better. You know, he'll get better. He will be the starter the rest of the season. And it's funny. You know, you talk about the record. If they tie, okay, folks. If they tie, believe it or not, I mean, you could. If they tie, okay, both teams would be 3-7-1. Philly would still be then in first place at 3-6-1. So this is kind of what you're dealing with. And this is the worst. We've had a couple teams win a division again in the playoffs. We've seen Carolina have a losing record. Okay, we saw Seattle do it. And Seattle, by the way, beat New Orleans in the first round of the playoffs many years ago with Marshawn Lynch. That was the Marshawn Quake, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know, but yeah, it's an awful division. And what I find interesting about that division is you got three new head coaches, and then you got Philly, who has a returning coaching staff, and they're as bad as they are 3-6-1.
Yeah, and I think the Eagles are probably going to lose to the Seahawks this weekend.
I just looked at Philly's schedule, sure. And then they're going to the Packers. They have the Saints at the Cardinals. Oh,
ouch.
My gosh.
Ouch. Yeah, that East is going to be interesting. All right, let's get into these topics with the Chiefs that you've kind of touched on, Adam, and we'll start with this last game against the Raiders. On the one hand, it's a reminder that Patrick Mahomes is the best. If you leave him any time on the clock, he's going to rip your heart out. But a lot of the focus in this town, Adam, has been on that pretty abysmal performance by the Chiefs defense again against the Raiders. Credit to the Raiders. They're a good offense. But how big are these problems for the Chiefs defensively as you look at it from the outside?
Well, the thing that they're not getting is a pass rush. Now, what teams are doing is they're clearly trying to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands, and that's smart, quickly. 2.5 seconds, that's kind of what you do against the Chiefs, and it's working. So they're just going to – look, the thing is, it's not a health issue. It's like the Chiefs' front four, they're relatively healthy. You just – they cannot get pressure on the quarterback for whatever reason. And Spags has got to keep just working with it, and I know he's going to do that. And we've seen this before. Teams will do things to negate a pass rush, get out of the quarterback's hands quickly. The secondary has got to do a better job. They fell asleep a little bit against Darren Waller, and particularly Nelson Agholor, who's having a breakout season for the Raiders. They got to do a better job. And look, it's gotten to the point now with the Chiefs' defense regressing, they're going to have to score over 30 points a game to continue to win every week. That's kind of, I think, if we're being realistic here, that's kind of where you're at with the Chiefs and their defense right now.
And if you're someone who's an optimist, you would say, hey, maybe it's just a bad matchup against the Raiders specifically with getting pressure. But there just hasn't – and I know the little metrics, they say the Chiefs do get pressure, right? But they're not getting, like, hits and really affecting quarterbacks. They didn't get a sack the other night. They only hit Derek Carr once. They sacked him once in the game before, and it was a one-yard sack. So it was more of a scramble. I mean, they just haven't gotten pressure on him. Could it just be a matchup, or is this a real theme, you think?
Well, Derek Carr, one of the things he does is he has a history, good and bad, of getting the ball out of his hands quickly. Sometimes, the knock on him, one of the reasons why the Raiders were interested in Tom Brady is Carr last year did not let the plays develop. He kept trying to get the ball out of his hands too fast. And I was told by a Raiders source that was the big issue that Gruden had with him, let the plays develop. Well, he's turning the ball loose this year. He's willing to wait a little bit longer, and they're making more plays downfield. And we mentioned Nelson Agholor has been an incredible story. Cover from Philly where the Eagles didn't even make him an offer to come back. They just let him walk. So when you really look at the situation with the Chiefs, Spags has got to do something with the front where they could get more pressure. And the thing is, they're not forcing turnovers. When they're at their best, that front four gets home. Spags has got some good, very good blitz packages. They just got to get home and force turnovers. That'll happen. But there were some good stories coming out of the last game. Obviously, on offense, Clyde Edwards-Helaire looked great, and Le'Veon Bell looked really good, by the way. Not enough people are talking about that. I would hope he would get more playing time going forward. DeMarcus Robinson was very active. Kelsey was incredible. The good thing is their offense is operating in all cylinders. I mean, these teams try to run the ball a lot. They try to do a lot to disrupt the Chiefs' offense, but it's not happening. No one's going to stop this Chiefs' offense. It's just a matter of once the playoffs get here, once their defense is challenged, how many points do the Chiefs have to score on offense?
So the Bucs, you referenced, we'll get to that game now, you referenced the fact that they seem to be struggling a little bit of late. They've lost 2 of 3, and they remember that game against the Giants that went down to the wire as well. But They struggled against a Rams team that does have a pretty darn good defense and was able to put Tom Brady under pressure. When you look at the Chiefs' defense and the problems getting pressure we just talked about, Brady does have weapons to get the ball to. Should we expect another shootout in this game between the Bucs and the Chiefs?
Most likely, yeah, most likely. And this, the other thing that's really odd about the Bucs, guys, they're 1-3 now in primetime games.
Wow.
And Bruce Arians, the head coach, saw in the first three games, he's like, we're going to practice tonight because we clearly can't get it done if we practice during the day. But they still lost. Their defense was very poor. Now, Jared Goff, the Rams quarterback, threw the ball 51 times, but they really didn't get a lot of pressure on him. Their defense, I'll tell you, the Bucs' defense for their first eight games was one of the best in the National Football League. The last three games, they're not getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. The other thing that you worry about, let's get over to Brady and their offense. His downfield passing in this timing was off. Okay, he had 48 pass attempts, just over 200 yards. That's awful. He got it to Evans one time, but really very few explosive plays. They tried, but Brady throws rainbows. He just does not have the power to get the ball downfield. That's a problem. They're not running the ball particularly well. Their pressure, which was tremendous earlier in the season, was bad. Remember, though, they did lose Vita Vea, their former first-round pick defensive tackle, who looked like he was going to have a breakout season, but he's done for the season. So they're just Todd Bowles. You guys remember him when he was with the Chiefs many years ago, their D coordinator. They're just not getting the pressure that they were getting earlier. And what the Rams do, though, folks, is they will move Jared Goff. They'll have him roll out. He rarely throws totally in the pocket, and that's the way you beat a good pass rush like Tampa has. So this is going to be a fun game. You're getting the Bucs defense at the right time. There's no question. The Bucs defense the last 3 weeks has not played particularly well, and that's certainly surprising based on where they had played before that.
We're speaking with Adam Kaplan about the NFL, and generally this year, after they've had a stinker, they've kind of gotten back and played a little bit better the next week with Tom Brady. I want to put us all in a time machine. Take us back 6 years. I sat at Arrowhead Stadium and watched the Chiefs beat Tom Brady and the Patriots 41-14. And I remember the next day on SportsCenter, they pulled Tom from the game and they put Jimmy Garoppolo in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is Tom Brady done? Da, da, da. Since that night, Tom Brady has won three Super Bowls and been to another and been the MVP of the league, blah, 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 blah. So it was a little early to say it's over for him. I'm hearing the same kind of things this year. Overthrowing.
He wasn't 43 then. That's
exactly. That's there's a little difference.
Throwing the ball as well.
He's not. Yeah. And he's overthrowing, and you know the numbers are really stark on balls that travel over 20 yards in the air. He's not completing all these kind of things. Is it really dunzo time for this guy at this point? Or it's Tom Brady. You don't shovel dirt on the grave too early, do you?
No, because he's had some. By the way, he's had some games this season. Really good. Okay, really good. It's just that he's not the same player. He's not quite as sharp. He's not the same player. Now, when you look at the Bucs, their schedule, okay, after this game against the Chiefs, their final four games are all against teams under 500. So they're going to go to the playoffs, and they have a chance to go fairly deep, and they have a chance to have like 10 or 11 wins. They're still going to be a good football team, and they are a good football team. They're just their defense is not as good. Brady's got to get himself back together. But, you know, the other thing is here, and you're kind of alluding to it, yeah, he's not playing well right now, but let's not forget, this is a new offense. This is a new team. He didn't have an offseason, a preseason. 2.5 weeks of training camp is all he had. The timing is not quite where it needs to be, and that's part of it. He just has not had a lot of work with these players.
And we have a tendency to remember what we saw most recently. I guess they call that recency bias. But
yeah, exactly.
He had a tough game against a really good defensive front in the Rams. Two games ago, against a bad defense in the Panthers, he threw for 341 yards, three touchdowns, and no picks. So,
right.
You know, that was just 2 games ago. So, yeah, you're right. You can't forget this is Tom Brady, and they have weapons on that Bucs team. And do the Chiefs' defense more closely resemble the Panthers or the Rams? You know, that's where I come down. So what's your prediction on this game, Adam, before we move on to some other action for the weekend?
Yeah, because I do think the Chiefs are getting the Bucs at the right time, and the Bucs, for whatever reason, not play well at night. I mean, the one game that they won at night against the Giants, they barely squeaked by at the Giants. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Chiefs here, 31-27. I think they will find a way to win. It'll be a fairly high-scoring game, and the other thing is the Bucs are not playing well at home. That's another thing. They for whatever reason, now obviously not having fans there is a problem, but We're seeing this around the National Football League. Home field really right now is not exactly an advantage.
Now, we saw that against the Raiders and Chiefs the other day. I mean, you get to hear the quarterbacks really well. And,
which is cool, by the way. And which is cool. I love that.
It's great.
Mahomes is drawing people off sides at their stadium. And that's not supposed to happen.
It's so great, though. Obviously, if you're the home team, that you hate it. But for the fan who gets to watch, it's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, it's a neat thing. So there's not – I don't think there's a ton of – really. I mean, the Chiefs-Bucks is the big game, I think, in the league, really, this weekend. But another one I do want to talk about is the Titans and Colts. You mentioned the Colts. That was, I thought, a really impressive win against Green Bay this past weekend because they were down and they fought back. And the Titans, impressive on the road, had to go overtime and got the game done in Baltimore.
Incredible.
This is a rematch. The Colts kind of caught a little bit of fire when they went on that Thursday night and won in Nashville. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, it's a good one, an AFC South clash. I know from talking to the Titans, they feel like, look, they've had a lot of things go against them. They had the COVID issue, obviously, the schedule changes. In 1 week, they told me their coaches were sent home 3 times in 1 week, and they still were able to win that game, which is incredible. But they've persevered. They've won a lot of close games, which is a great sign. They were able to hang in there and find a way to win. Their defense has had issues. They've got a lot of injuries on defense. They have issues at tackle. But they find a way to win. They've got King Henry at running back, obviously. But when you play the Colts, man, you got to bring your hard hat. They've got the best front four right now in the National Football League. No one's playing better than they are with that front. They do have a run game. Phillip Rivers is getting better after a very slow start where he was struggling. This is a fun game, man. You're right. This is one of the marquee games of the week. And, it had not been a great rivalry in recent years because the Colts had not been as good. But they are really – I'll tell you, the Colts are one of those most improved teams. You got to give Frank Reich and his coaching staff very, very much credit here.
So the rest of the slate is a bunch of teams with winning records playing against teams with losing records, which might make you feel like they aren't good games. But – I feel like it's a whole lot of games of teams that have won a bunch of close games against teams that have lost a bunch of close games, which means I expect a lot of close games, Adam. And the only other one, so this to me typifies those types of games, and I think it is relevant to us here in Kansas City. Raiders Falcons, you got 6-4 versus 3-7. So on paper, that looks like a bad game, but it's like the Falcons are in every game. We know they're explosive on offense. I expect that one to go down to the wire. It's in Atlanta. What do you think?
Yeah, and the Falcons, guys, their defense has improved now. It was tough for the Falcons with Taysom Hill because he's such a unique and different quarterback. They had faced him before, but not quite as a quarterback. He'd only thrown 18 passes before in his career until last week's first start. So now they're back home against the Raider team, as you mentioned. Raiders need to win this game. They're no lock to make the playoffs. I mean, certainly we have an extra wild card in each conference, and they're looking pretty to be a wild card, but the Falcons are competitive, and that coaching staff would like to stay. Yeah, that you're right. That's a fun game. I think the Falcons will give the Raiders a game there. But the Raiders have shown also that they go in on the road.
Adam, the last one that I think is an interesting game from a coaching matchup is Arizona, who's in the 7th seed right now in the NFC, is going to New England. This is your ultimate, Bill Belichick will devise something to slow down Kyler Murray and what Arizona does in Cliff Kingsbury. This is an interesting one to watch the old guard and the new guard kind of face each other.
It's interesting about Cliff Kingsbury. He was drafted by Belichick, and there were people around the league thought that if Josh McDaniels would have taken that Colts head coaching job, that Belichick would have liked to hire Kingsbury as his offensive coordinator. Of course, that didn't happen because McDaniels backed out of his agreement with the Colts. So here you are. Josh is still the OC of the Patriots, and Cliff comes in doing a good job. Their offense is unbelievably dynamic, and Kyler Murray's really good. The problem with the Cardinals is their defense. There was a point in the first half of the season where you're like, wow, they've really improved on that side of the football, but they're not getting enough pressure on the quarterback. They're giving up too many yards and big plays. And the Patriots, unfortunately, they lost Rex Burkhead, the running back for the season, due to a severe knee injury. Their offense has been underwhelming with Cam Newton at quarterback. He got off to the good start, but he had regressed. Yeah, that's a team that certainly in transition here. They had they had some COVID opt-outs, which certainly have impacted their football team. And Cardinals need to win this game. They're yet another team. Both conferences have teams that are hovering around 6-4 that need to continue to win if they want to get a wild card. And you're right, this is going to be a fun game to see how Belichick plays Kyler Murray and the Cardinals.
going to be another fun weekend, Adam. Hopefully we get all the games going. Hopefully the Ravens and Steelers are able to do their thing tomorrow night. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you next week.
You too, guys. Thank you.
That is Adam Kaplan breaking down the NFL better than anyone. We'll talk with Gary Lezak, who breaks down the weather sometimes better than anybody. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Don't touch that dial. The Border Patrol will be right back on Sports Radio 810 WHB.